We had a chat with our legislative senator representing District 42, Mike Jacobson, is on the phone line this morning in a balmy Lincoln, which you said is a mere 3 degrees warmer than we have out here in the western half of the state. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, thank you very much, Corey. And yes, 3 degrees. I'm not sure I could feel the difference, but that's what they're telling us it is.
Well, yeah. Either way, you can see your breath, and it kind of hits you on the backside when you have to be out in it. It's kind of like, I want to spend as least amount of time out in this as possible. But I think with all the warmth that we've had, we've kind of got spoiled, you know, having had to experience that quick cold snap that we had. And it's like kind of a reminder that, yeah, it is December, and we're probably due to have some below normal temperatures here pretty quick, huh?
Well, I think right now is when you really appreciate the cow-calf producers and all of our producers who need to spend time outside. This is where they earn what they make, and these are and the livestock themselves. I mean, this is cold, and add some wind to it, and it's really cold. So you're taking care of livestock 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and you can just be glad if you're not calving right now, because. Mm-hmm. Those calves can stay alive for maybe 15 minutes in this kind of weather.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
It's bad.
Well, the legislature is going to be starting next week. What is the official start date, Mike, of the legislature?
I actually start on the 7th. It's always the first Wednesday in January. And it's a little later this year because of the first day of the month. But yeah, it's the first Wednesday in January, and that's always the case. And on the odd-numbered years is the long session, the 90-day session, and the even years is when it's the short session, 60 days. And those are 90 legislative days and 60 legislative days, not calendar days. So the weekends don't count, and holidays don't count, and then any days that we take as recess days do not count in that 60 and that 90.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into what your agenda is and what you think the bulk of the session will be spent on, you and your lovely bride are celebrating a special anniversary today.
50 years.
Amazing.
I had people last week saying, hey, congratulations on your 50th wedding anniversary. And I said, don't jinx us. We've got a few days left, and there's a lot of things that can happen. But, yes, it's been 50 years, and I know I find myself that when you reflect on that, there's a lot of things that we've done together. Probably I've really grown to appreciate that with the legislature, because Julie was a big part of not only the campaign, but also on helping me when the session is going. I can tell you that having a home in Lincoln was one of the smartest decisions we made, because particularly when you've got the long days, being able to come home to a real home, sleeping in a real bed, and knowing that your wife is there to provide meals and help getting clothing ready, and it makes my life a lot easier. And I know a lot of my colleagues are dealing with they're staying at renting an apartment, and some of them are renting a hotel room at Cornhusker Hotel. Mm-hmm. So they'll stay at the Cornhusker during the session days, and they'll drive home on the weekends. And that gets old after a while, living out of the suitcase.
I can only imagine, but congrats. That's a milestone that's pretty rare in this day and age. So,
well, I can also tell you that a lot of people kind of question how I ended up being a farmer and owning some farm ground and getting into banking. And You know, Julie and I both had jobs. Julie was a research chemist when we first got out of college, and was really the primary breadwinner when I was still working on the farm, not really getting a paycheck. And then I ended up starting as an ag teacher, and it wasn't until 10 years after we had been married, our son, we had a premature baby, John Michael, who died on our 10th wedding anniversary. He was born 5 weeks earlier. And so we waited to start having children, and because we wanted to get established. And I kind of, when you grow up really with virtually nothing, you get concerned about being able to afford a family and to be able to provide for them. And we did some of that. And some cases we paid the price, but I can tell you we adopted two infants after that, a year apart. And I've always said sometimes when you have a tragedy in your life, like losing a child, you go the rest of your life not understanding why that happened to you. I think in our case, we got the answer a couple of years later when we adopted our daughter, Mary, and then adopted our son, Josh, a year after that. So we've been blessed.
Oh, for sure. Let's talk legislative matters. And of course, as you mentioned a moment ago, it is a short session. And I'm sure that kind of changes the approach of the whole body, but in particular, the speaker who sets the agenda, but you have to get your priorities lined up and out there, and there's an urgency that you maybe don't quite see in the 90-day session, right?
That's correct. I think even on a 90-day session, there are so many bills that get introduced that there's just not time to get them all through. They get through committee, but those that get sent to the floor, there's just not time to hear three rounds of debate on all these bills. And so one way to generally ensure that your bill is going to be heard is to prioritize it. Each senator gets one priority bill. Each committee chair can designate two bills as priority bills. And then the speaker can designate 25 priority bills. A priority bill is one, as the name would imply, gets prioritized over what we call worksheet order bills, which worksheet order bills would be the bills that are sent to the floor out of committee, and then they just come up in the order they've been sent to the floor. But I would tell you that being able the last few years with filibusters and long debate, it's hard to get a lot more bills heard unless you do it on the front half of the first session. So last year, I was able to get most of my bills heard and passed because they were introduced early, scheduled early in a committee, got to the floor, and the speaker scheduled them for hearings because he needed bills to be discussed on the floor in the mornings when we had committee hearings in the afternoon. And that's always the challenge, is if your bill is scheduled late in committee hearings, meaning you're not going to get that bill heard until late in the time allocated for committee hearings, all these other bills come up ahead of yours. And so you're probably going to have to prioritize it if you're going to get it scheduled for the floor. And there's no guarantee that's going to happen. Last year, there were several priority bills that never got heard. And so they got carried over or they never got out of committee.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one thing that you'll have to deal with pretty much right away is the situation with Senator McEwen and get us up to date on where that's at and how you think the body's going to deal with that.
Well, it will be interesting. I will tell you that Senator Kalth, I understand, plans to bring a legislative resolution to impeach Regent Elizabeth O'Connor, who's on the Board of Regents. If you recall, Elizabeth O'Connor had been a student regent when she was going to the university, and then after getting out of college, she was elected to be one of the regents in the Omaha area. Regent O'Connor had ran into an issue, really, I think it was almost a year ago now. It had been last spring, early last spring, where she was driving her car. There's video of this. It crossed the center line, hit a family of four head on, and fortunately no one was killed, but the four in the car and the other car were seriously injured. Her blood alcohol was four times the legal limit for driving from a DUI standpoint. She was employed as an assistant, I believe, county prosecutor or defense attorney, excuse me, and county defender. And she resigned her job due to obvious conflicts there, but she did not resign as a member of the Board of Regents. She's received a lot of pressure to do so. I think there's many that believe that if you were pulled over and involved in a serious accident and that far over the legal limit limit for DUI, that you should not be serving on the University of Nebraska Board of Regents. She has not resigned at this point, and so I think Senator Kalth has made it her mission that if she doesn't resign before the legislature begins, she will drop her LR and force her to be, or vote for her to be impeached. I know there's a lot of people on both sides of the issue. Some are saying, well, shouldn't she be adjudicated? Shouldn't we have some kind of a, because she's never been, I believe there's been some charges, but she's never gone to court. And I think many on the other side say that's part of the problem, is she, with the way things work today, her charges may be pled down. She may not be charged where she should be charged. And so a lot of cases, if you're willing to plead guilty, your charges would be significantly reduced, which would not require her to resign. And yet there's much video, or there's actually a video that clearly shows what happened. Mm-hmm. And her blood alcohol is really part of the public record. And so I think without a court hearing, we've seen what's out there with our own eyes and from public statements. And so I think that's where many believe that you want to wait for a prosecutor who may be of the same political party, who's willing to protect some political person, particularly where it might be first offense. And so I believe that's why Senator Kalth wants to bring this action. The way that would work is that the LR would be introduced. The legislature would then it would be sent over to the exec board or the referencing committee, which is one and the same. We would then assign it to a committee, which would be the exec board, and we would hold a public hearing. And then if we saw a reason to proceed, it would then be referred to the speaker to be heard on the floor. And then it would be debate on the floor and an up and down vote, yes or no, to impeach her. So I know that's coming. I would also tell you that the exec board, I think this was in the press, did vote unanimously to expel Senator McEwen from the legislature based upon charges that were filed by the Nebraska State Patrol surrounding his actions at the Sine Die party at the Lincoln Country Club this last spring. And I think the exec board actions that through the public release was brought largely because of the specific things that happened in that particular incident, plus other incidences that have brought this to the level of saying perhaps expulsion is appropriate. Now, the exec board doesn't have the power to make that action on their own. The exec board, for all intents and purposes, is the Human Resources Committee for the legislature. Mm-hmm. And when you have a complaint filed and you get the EEOC involved, and they're fairly serious in terms of harassment, you have it investigated. So there was an investigation done, and based upon that investigation and other circumstances, the legislature believed that it was appropriate to bring this action and let the full legislature decide what they believe the action should be. So it's just been kicked out now to the full legislature. What will happen, I don't know. There will be a full public, in other words, I would believe, much like with Regent O'Connor, there would be a legislative resolution that would be filed. It would be then sent to the referencing committee, who would likely reference it to the exec board, who would then schedule a public hearing. That public hearing would allow testimony for and against and neutral testifiers. And then the exec board would then have to vote whether they want to, based upon that testimony, send it to the full legislature to debate. And if they do that, then the speaker would schedule a time for a full legislative debate, and then there'd be an up or down vote. That's how that process would work. Everyone would be entitled to, at that time, to see the full investigative report and understand all the reasons for this action being brought. Some of the same criticisms, there are those that are saying there's not been any court action other than he had charges filed and he pled not guilty, mm-hmm. but he's not had an actual hearing in court. And should that make a difference? And I guess the response to that, much like with Regent O'Connor, is there are a number of public statements and there was a number of witness testimony. And so the question becomes, if the charges would get pled down, if they get delayed, like in the case of Regent O'Connor, they've been delayed, is that fair to the person who's making the accusation? Mm-hmm. And so I think based upon all that, there will likely... we brought it to the point that we have how the legislature will react. I don't know whether the votes are there. I presume they may be, but that's why it'll be discussed. And so these two actions are not normal kinds of activities for both of them to be brought in a 60-day session. Will certainly take precious hours away from floor debate for other issues to deal with them. And that doesn't mean that they're not important, because they are. I mean, in the case of Regent O'Connor, you've got four family members who have been dealing with serious recovery after efforts because of severe injury due to her negligence. Mm-hmm. And at least what the video would show was her negligence. And you do have, we do take seriously HR issues in the legislature. That's something we've really focused on the last few years this is not a good old boys club. It's not a fraternity. We're expecting senators to conduct themselves at levels that are higher than the general public. And so when it comes to telling, I guess what I would say, fairly off-color jokes or doing things that are unwelcome, that you're going to be held to a standard. And the question is, were those standards upheld? And if they aren't, you could be expelled. I know a lot of people I've heard from are saying, how can you wipe out the vote of the people? Well, the people voted in that district to send him to the legislature. And then when he got there, he took an oath that said that he would uphold the rules of the legislature. Mm-hmm. And so what we're dealing with is a violation of the rules of the legislature, and particularly human resources mm-hmm. Rules of the legislature. So that's what this is all about.
Mike, is each senator, when they first are elected and get down there, are you given like a handbook or a code of conduct or anything connected with it?
You're required to take, in fact, not only that, you get the code of conduct. You're required to take a class on harassment mm-hmm. and how to act. I mean, you would think that if you're elected to be a Nebraska state senator, you would not need that. But for some reason, we do. And so, yes, all this has been, every senator has gone through the training and signed off on the handbook that they've read it and will follow it. And so that's really the sticking point here is, that's why the legislature can get involved in determining who can serve and who can't serve. And it's really based upon the fact that you've signed off on these rules and this code of conduct and you haven't followed it, or presumably haven't followed it.
If it gets to a vote in the full legislature, does it take 33 or is it just a majority to expel a member?
Yeah, that's a good question. It takes 33 to expel a member. It takes 25 votes to censure a member. And what's being recommended is an expulsion.
Okay. What's your sense? Have you talked enough to get a sense of whether there'd be enough votes to expel him then?
One thing you always hear from me is count the votes. And I do know that if you look at party affiliation, there are 16 Democrats, one independent who votes with the Democrats generally, and then you've got 33 Republicans. I think that there's, in my judgment, easily 25 votes to do something, and whether you can get to 33. I think it's a good question, but I believe that there could be 33 votes there, yes.
Okay. Well, it's sad that you have to spend part of your time doing this when, to me, I would think you would kind of know, you know, do your best to stay out of any kind of a, you know, conduct that would get you, you know, scrutiny and a vote. But sometimes that happens. You have to deal with that, so...
It really is, and there's a lot of people that no matter what testimony they hear, they're going to be opposed to whatever might happen. I know
right.
Senator Halloran was brought up to be censured. This was 2 years ago. I sat on the exec board then. I voted in favor of censure. Censure was just simply a reprimand. And I think everybody points to, well, if that was bad, then what about this senator and this senator 2 years ago? Well, 2 years ago, we had not taken those actions, believe we needed to set up a stronger code of conduct, which is what we've done over the last few years. And of course, you know, my predecessor, resigned rather than being brought up for an expulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And I still applaud him for, I guess, not putting the legislative body through the process of having to vote on expulsion, and really decided that based upon what was done, decided to take action on his own.
Right.
But I think following that, there were stronger standards put in place, and the leadership of the legislature made certain that everyone knew what those standards were, and still we have problems. And so I think ultimately it's probably like disciplining your kids. At some point you have to follow through in order for them to understand that you're serious about this, that this is unacceptable behavior.
I agree. Well, we didn't really get into nitty-gritty legislative things, and that's okay. We can do that next week, setting the table for you expect as the legislature launches its 2026 session. Mike, if they'd like to get a hold of you, they've got the phone number of your office.
Sure.
And an email address.
Yeah, they can call me at 402-471-2729, and they can email me at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov, and we get those. My staff sees it too, and we'll respond accordingly.
Sounds great. Thanks for dropping on the show today and taking half an hour of your time with us this morning. Have a good week. Happy New Year, and happy 50th anniversary again to you and Julie, okay?
Thank you very much, Corey.
Thanks, Mike.
See you later.
Take care.